Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 14. Days were not supposed to be like this. The shadows were supposed to move. The hairs on the skin are supposed to track the sun or something. Dick never left Katie's side as he watched her every breath while she lay in her hospital bed in a protective coma. The steady beeping sound made by the monitors over Katie's hospital bed never changed. Minutes turned into hours. The only feeling that time had passed at all was occasionally getting up to pee or feeling hungry. But he wasn't leaving her side. Somewhere inside of that sleeping body was the best part of him, sharing her air and listening to her heartbeat from the inside while he listened to the signal that it was still working from the outside. The doctor induced her into a shallow coma to prevent the deep scratch on the artery in her shoulder from blowing out like the treads separating on a racing tire at 200 miles an hour. It needed to heal while she wasn't moving, and it would take 3 days. Her blood pressure was lowered by dilating her veins. A balance between clotting and flowing freely had to be maintained. He understood the strategy, but that didn't mean he had to like it. Lorraine had told him to put himself out there in the future a few days and look back at this time and try saying, "Wow, that was tough, but I'm glad we made it through." It worked, sort of. He wasn't good enough at it to stay there until she caught up. He kept finding himself back here in the past, which was the present, which was like spraying champagne around inside your helmet while you're still chasing the guy in first place. In a few hours, she would be allowed to wake up. He remembered the sound of that gun going off as the tunnel sounded like it was going to cave in or something. Part of him wanted to turn left and get out of that mountain, but for some reason he turned right and pointed that cart down the center of that 7-mile tunnel into the cavern city known as Site R. He kept wondering what they had done to deserve being shot at. Lorraine thought it might have been an accident, but how does someone get shot from that far away by accident? What was he trying to do, scare them? He just wanted to get close? He never even asked them to stop. He just fired at them. And now she was close to death. They were close to death. "Hello, Dick. You been here all along?" said the doctor as he walked into the room. "Same underwear," said Dick. "We're going to take another look and see how things are doing. We're going to do another CT scan of this area around the shoulder. We got the whole bullet. She's lucky it didn't hit a bone. We just want to make sure that artery is mending before we turn the lights on," said the doctor. "So you're moving her?" asked Dick. "Yes, you can hang out here. It'll only take about an hour," said the doctor. "What happens if," began Dick. "If it blows out, we'll clamp it. We'll cut and splice it. But it really is best if it heals on its own. The good news is that she's young and healthy, and she's pregnant," said the doctor. "Why is that good?" asked Dick. "Hormones, my boy. The same stuff that makes them so emotional also makes the tissues very stretchy and able to heal at incredible rates. Sort of like biting your cheek. It heals within minutes sometimes," said the doctor. "I'll keep that in mind when she sends me out in the middle of the night for pizza and pickles," said Dick. "The nurses and radiologist will be here in a few minutes. Do you need anything?" asked the doctor. "A shower," said Dick. "Not a bad idea. Use the one in the bathroom, and I'll have some scrubs brought down your size and laid out. I promise you'll feel better. We'll be back before you know it," said the doctor. The doctor shook his hand and walked out of the room. Battle changes people. People in this line of work get used to beating death back with everything they have. They get plenty of practice. They don't get upset, stomachs, or the flu. They get shrapnel and burns. The whole floor was a world-class trauma center with experienced and committed professionals in every position. The male nurse and a female radiologist walked in with their rank on their collars, both colonels. "Mr. Daring, I promise we will take care of her. Give us about 40 minutes and she'll be back here. If all goes well, we'll wake her up. Okay? Asked the nurse. Yes, sir, said Dick. You're fine, son. She's going to be all right. You have my word, said the nurse. They secured the monitor leads and unplugged it from the wall. The plasma screen indicated it was operating on battery mode as they wheeled her smoothly out of the room and down the hall. He slipped off his shoes and shuffled into the bathroom across the gray epoxy floor. It was a large shower with a bench and a spray wand, which tempted him to sit down and just soak in the endless supply of hot water. Within a few minutes, the fatigue and stress of Katie's near-death experience was rinsing down the drain. His skin could breathe again, and his scalp had stopped itching. He dried off and cracked open the door of the room. Still empty, he saw folded on the chair a crisp set of green scrubs. He slipped on his underwear again and combed his hair back and fit his eye patch over his eye, just over his right ear. He slipped into the soft cotton scrubs and sat down in the reclining chair that had been his bed for the last 2 days. Within a few minutes, Dick opened his eyes to a clear, shallow lake that reflected a few small clouds in the daytime sky above him. There was no breeze at all, and the air was cool and full of the smell of flowers and pine trees. He could feel the texture of the smooth rock upon which he sat through the green scrubs he was wearing. He was used to having dreams when he was really tired. For years after the racing car crash that took his right eye, he dreamed of hopelessly trying to avoid the crash. After saving the Gulfstream jet from crashing into the Earth from low orbit, he never had that dream again. Still, the vivid dream state was not a strange place for him. He turned his head to look around and notice the mountains around him. They were densely covered in pine trees, and there were a few white birds gliding gently through the air halfway across the lake. He stood up and walked a few feet forward in his bare feet, feeling the cool, short grass against the bottom of his feet. He went down and picked up a small, flat stone and stood back up, turning sideways to the glass-smooth lake. He cocked his arm and threw the stone, fast and low, and watched as it skipped a dozen times across the water, painting a blurry path. It was peaceful and quiet. "Hello, Dick," came the young male voice from behind him. He turned his head first, and then his body, to face a man no older than him, standing a few yards away. "What's up?" asked Dick, knowing a person never actually gets hurt in a dream. "I have this chance for you to meet me," said the young man. "So who are you?" asked Dick, always cutting to the inside of the corner. "My name is Edgar, or it was. You can call me whatever you like, and I'm not here to give you any ideas about that," said the young man. "Huh. That's not too common, bro." "My dad's name was Edgar," said Dick, already suspicious of dream characters. "Yeah, well, that's no coincidence. And I'm not just trying to be familiar or reading your mind or something. It's just that we're nearing transition already. The Earth, I mean. The souls who have lived here for a while already. We're getting ready to separate from the cold and dead planet," said the young man, taking his time for Dick to catch up. "I saw it. From the jet, a few months ago, the two Earths were like phasing apart." "I forgot to take a picture," said Dick, brushing the small amount of dirt from his hands. Katie is going to recover, I can tell you that," said Edgar. "I'm not used to losing anything. I'm not going to lose her," said Dick, squaring his feet in the grass beneath him. "No, we're not. I don't have much time. She's on the way back to the room. You and I are going to be together again. Just remember who brought you here. I get to rely on you for a while, so do a better job than I did. Be open and strong, Dick." "Your word?" asked Edgar, extending his hand. "Oh, we're allowed? Cool. I suppose I will see you soon," said Dick, squeezing his firm hand. "About 5 months. We'll be clear by then. I'm one of the first, said Edgar, releasing his hand and smiling at him. You're not saying, began Dick. I believe I just did, interrupted Edgar. Bye for now, Dick. See ya, said Dick with a low wave. A warm breeze washed over his face, and he turned his face into it with his left eye searching. When he turned back, Edgar was gone, and he sat back down on the rock with the lake at his back. The sun was warm on his back, but the heat from the love he felt was overpowering. He dropped his head to look at the grass, and tiny little white flowers scattered across the meadow in front of him. They were perfect, all of them. Dick, came the male voice in a slight touch on his shoulder. He looked up, only to see the male nurse standing over him. Katie was already in her bed again. We're going to revive her now. Everything checked out okay, he said. Oh, wow. I passed out, said Dick. Must have been the shower. You look refreshed. You need a coffee or anything? Asked the nurse. I'll pass. I don't want to miss anything, said Dick. I have something to help her wake up slowly, and something to repress the nausea, he said as he flipped the cap off the syringe and inserted the needle through the septum on Katie's IV. He reached up and shut off the drip from the small bag and left the saline flowing through the controller. It beeped in protest, and he cleared the alarm and picked up Katie's hand in his. He watched the heartbeat come up slightly, and her breathing began to speed up slightly. Katie? Her eyelids began to shiver, and she rolled her head slightly. Wow, that was wild, she said through a dry throat. Hey, Katie, I'm so glad you're awake. Are you feeling good? Asked Dick, not really knowing what to say. Oh, man, how long was I asleep? She asked. 3 days, said Dick, reaching for her other hand and squeezing it. No way. Really? Asked Katie, blinking her eyes. Yes, way. I forgot to shave, said Dick, rubbing his whiskers. Okay, I believe you. What happened? She asked. You took one in the shoulder. It scratched some artery, so they kept you in a coma for 3 days while it healed, said Dick. The baby, she asked slightly, lifting her head off the pillow. He's fine, said Dick quietly. Yes, we're monitoring your baby. And everything is normal, said the nurse. My shoulder feels numb and swollen, said Katie. We put that area under a local anesthetic. The feeling will return, and I'm afraid there's not much we can give you for it. So it's going to be sore for a couple of weeks, said the nurse. Lots of foot rubs, baby, said Dick, smiling. Well, I know it's not like I have anywhere to go or I'm worried about the cost, but when do I get out of here? Asked Katie. You should be able to go in the morning, but you're just down the street, so you can come back as often as you like, said the nurse, unfolding his arms. Oh, yeah, I like hanging around hospitals, said Katie sarcastically. Just let us know what you want for dinner and we'll fix you up, said the nurse, turning to walk out of the room. I'll take one of everything, said Katie. I'll let them know, said the nurse, laughing. Dick looked at Katie and leaned down to kiss her, and she kissed him back. The door. Oh, my God, I forgot the door. Did you tell them? Asked Katie as her memory began coming back. Yeah, Riker's got it covered, said Dick. Okay, driver. My bullshit detector just went off, said Katie. Look, nobody got in, if that's what you're worried about. And I don't want to tell you everything yet, because I don't really feel like getting my ass kicked right now. Not by you, anyway. So I'm asking you to take it slow around the curves for now, said Dick calmly. I won't crash. I can tell something is wrong, so just tell me, said Katie, trying to convince him. The bad guys snuck in a really small drone, like a black flying beetle. They say there might be more than one. They're like a flying grenade, or so says Kyle. They tried to kill Shelley with one, said Dick, hoping she would not ask any more questions. Tried? "Was anybody hurt?" she asked, like she was handing him a raw egg to care for. "Damn. Orphan is dead," said Dick, closing his eyes, like he was expecting to get slapped for not being able to keep it secret from her. Katie took a short breath and began to cry. Dick leaned down to hug her, and she wrapped her left arm around his neck. She took a few deep breaths and tried to get her voice back. "How did he..." "Oh, Jesus, Dick," she whimpered. "Well, it's out now. I was told it was instant. He never knew what happened and didn't feel a thing. These contraptions work on facial recognition, so key people are probably in the memory of these little assassin bugs. If they don't see the face, they just sit there and wait in the dark. And there's a lot of dark down here. The good news is that Kyle says the batteries probably won't last more than a week, so everyone is staying out of sight and waiting them out," said Dick. He was so strong. "If they can do that to him," she began. Hey, it's always been that way. Every time we leave the pits could be our last. There is no safe life out there. Why do you think drivers don't visit each other in the hospital or go to funerals?" he asked. "Or why they wear a blue rubber band around their right wrist at every race? I know. But I'm talking about people in the stands getting killed here. What about people working concession?" she pressed through her grogginess. "I get it. Maybe my analogies aren't perfect. But the point is that we can't just curl up at home and wait for them to come and kill us. Some of us are born to drive fast. Some of us can take tinker toys and bubblegum and make an airplane. Some of us can show a one-eyed gearhead how to love. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm in the right place doing the right thing," said Dick. "Me too," said Katie, gripping his hand with hers and looking into his eyes. "Dreams," he said, like he picked a word, like rolling dice. "Yeah, tell me about it. I'm not sure I am awake," said Katie. "I met our kid," said Dick without tact. "You mean Edgar?" she responded without blinking. "No shit," he said, like the answer had been pulled from a sealed envelope before the question was even asked. "I have a feeling that we're about to be enrolled in school for the next 18 years, said Katie. "I guess we just take it one day at a time," said Dick. "My mom asked me one time if I liked babysitting my younger brother. I said hell no. She told me that if I fooled around, I'd be stuck doing it for 18 years with no break," said Katie. "Harsh," said Dick, "but true. This feels so different. I feel like I have always been with you. I can't imagine a single day without you. Forever," she said. "Forever is just one more lap," said Dick, like he was reciting a bumper sticker. "It's eternity, mister. Forever," said Katie, stretching the last word out with each syllable. "What most people miss is that the track is round. There are an infinite number of combinations, but there is no end," said Dick. "Now that is a good analogy," said Katie, smiling. "When I first met Kyle, he told me there was no green flag," said Dick. "And it still took this long for us to meet," said Katie. "You sure about that?" asked Dick. "I used to be, but not anymore," said Katie. "What blows my mind is the completely insane series of things that happened that brought us together," said Dick, turning to pick up the cup of ice water sitting on the rolling bed table. "You know, it only looks like a straight line looking backwards," said Katie. "Now you sound like Lorraine," said Dick, offering the bent straw in the cup to her for a drink. "I was trying to sound like Yoda," said Katie, smiling and drawing a sip. "You are the droid I am looking for," he said, waving his hand in front of her. "I'll show you droid when I get out of here," she said, poking at him with her left hand. "Take it easy, coma chameleon," he said, smiling and leaning against the bed and putting his hand on her forehead. I promise to make you laugh every day, she said. That's my line, remember? I'm the one-eyed life of the party, said Dick. Well, now we're a duet, said Katie. Have you ever actually played the Dick Daring driving experience, he asked with a serious look. Oh, I don't play. I like gripping the real thing, she said, trying her hardest to look serious. Yeah, let me go talk to the doc and see when I can take you home, said Dick, letting go of her hand gently and walking for the door. I feel good enough. Tell him I'm ready to go, said Katie. Dick walked out to the nurse's station, and the female nurse there looked up as he approached. Can I help you? She asked. I was just checking in to see when Katie could go home. She seems to feel fine, said Dick. Hey, Mr. Daring, said the doctor as he came around the corner with a clipboard in his hands. Hey, Doc. I was just checking on Katie's status for being released, said Dick, leaning on the high countertop around the nurse's station. Let me be straight with you. There is a risk of Katie developing an arterial aneurysm. That is, like a balloon on the artery that forms a weak spot. If it blows out, she could bleed out in less than 5 minutes, and you would never know what's wrong, said the doc. Hey, I know all about blowouts. I just want to know when she's ready for the road, said Dick. This is not a pit stop, Mr. Daring. Katie is a healthy young woman, and she will heal as good as new in a few more days. You're not leaving on vacation anytime soon. So as you were, mister, said the doctor like he was giving an order. I can dig the straight talk. I like it that way. We'll hang out as long as you like. When you say it's cool, we'll go catch a movie or something. I mean, where else are we going to go, like you say, said Dick, slowly backing away from the counter. Thank you, Dick. Just hang in there. And I'm not really sorry for my hard-ass bedside manner. I'm here to save lives, said the doctor. Right on, Doc, Colonel, sir. It's cool, said Dick, smiling and turning to walk back to Katie's room. Dick walked slowly back to Katie's room with his hands in his pockets. He thought about how the off-white tile floor could look so shiny and new after more than 60 years. The floor was quiet. Room after room had a snap-tight bed with clean sheets and a TV, but no patients. It was a facility made for battle action, and right now there wasn't any, except for Katie. And they weren't taking any chances with their only trauma patient. He picked up his head as he turned into Katie's room. Hey, baby. You're the main feature. I mean, all these colonels and shit got all dressed up, and without you, they have no place to go, he said, taking his hands out of the comfort of his pockets. So, we're still eating hospital food and watching Andy of Mayberry reruns, she said, smiling. Afraid so, said Dick, leaning against the bed. Well, can we get a double bed so we can snuggle, she asked. Herr Colonel Doctor said something about a bubble on your sidewall, and that you should not be redlined for at least a few more days, said Dick. I'm just talking about snuggling, not wild sex, said Katie with a snappy tone. Yeah, well, that's a little like driving a Ferrari to church, baby, said Dick. You calling me a Ferrari? I always thought I was a little red Corvette, she said, smiling wryly. Hey, I'm just implying you know how to handle a stick, said Dick with a playful, innocent look on his face. Well, we do like shifting those gears, don't we? She asked, playing back with him. You just think I look good in scrubs, said Dick, pulling on the hem of the green cotton shirt. Actually, you probably look better out of those scrubs, but let me just think about that for a while. Is there a chance they can bring you a bed to sleep in instead of that 1950s recliner, she asked. Now that I can ask about. After all, they do have safety rails, said Dick. In your case, it's more like a roll bar, laughed Katie. Okay, I'll be right back. You hungry? Asked Dick. Yeah, but can you order something yummy? Asked Katie. I'm on it, said Dick as he walked back out of the room. The nurse was waiting for him to approach as he rounded the corner. "Yes?" asked the female nurse with drawling amusement. "Okay, here's a list of demands." "Not really. If I'm going to hang out here for another few days, can I get a bed to sleep in? The cinder blocks in the seat of that poor excuse for a recliner ain't cutting it. And can we order something from Chef Bailey instead of the Oatmeal Cafe?" asked Dick. "I think we can arrange both of that. I'll get a bed down there and move some stuff around so you can use the phone to call the chef's kitchen. We do it all the time. The extension is on the little pad by the phone over there on the wall," said the nurse, smiling. "Thanks," said Dick, turning to walk a normal pace back to Katie's room.